Welcome back to InfoTrack and our host, Chris Whitting.
It's the toxic truth. E-cigarettes are more dangerous than we thought. New research reveals higher levels of harmful contents. InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Brett Polin, assistant professor in the Department of Environmental Toxicology at the University of California, Davis. Dr. Polin, your study found concerning amounts of metals in some vape smoke. What did you find?
Our study looked at three different brands of disposable e-cigarettes, and we quantified the metal concentrations in the aerosols. And across all three brands, we found concerningly high concentrations of metals. And across the brands, they were coming from different sources.
Now, you compared the amount of lead that one of the e-cigarettes released versus traditional cigarettes. What did you find on that score?
For one of the brands, they were using lead alloys or lead metals in the devices that was leaching into the liquid and then being transferred into the mist that is produced. And the concentrations were startlingly high, so high that when we first analyzed it, we actually thought that our instrument was malfunctioning. And it wasn't malfunctioning, it was just that the concentrations were so much higher than we had observed in other electronic cigarettes. And the first thing we wanted to do is understand, well, where it is the lead coming from. So my student took the devices apart, and we have a special instrument that essentially you can shine a laser onto it, and the laser takes small particles of metal off the surface, and it will tell you what the metallic material is. It allows us to tell where the lead's coming from. And that's how we found lead components in this specific brand of device.
Now, in addition to lead, what were some of the other metals that you found?
The one that was also equally surprising was antimony, which hasn't been reported on in electronic cigarettes. Now, antimony has no biological functions. We don't need it in our body, and it can be toxic in certain forms. And we found that it was in the e-liquids across all the three brands at levels that were concerningly high. And we actually never found out where it came from. It wasn't a part of any of the components of the devices and likely had to do with contaminated material like the e-liquid that they were putting in the devices.
And what were some of the other metals? Chromium, for one?
There was chromium, and that's typically, usually chromium's a part of stainless steel or any type of coil. So we did see that. And you know what was surprising is that the concentrations increased dramatically over the life of the device. So as you use the device, the metal concentration got higher and higher the longer the device was used.
What are the harmful effects on humans? Drill down on that for us from metals like these.
Each of the metals could have different toxic effects. Lead is what's known as a neurotoxin, meaning that it affects our nervous system and it can get into your brain. And it actually slows down how fast your neurons communicate. And so it's particularly problematic for young people to be exposed because their nervous system is developing and establishing all those connections. And so it's tightly linked to decreased motor function and cognitive ability and can have lifelong effects. Other elements that we observe, like nickel and antimony, they're known as respiratory carcinogens, which means that they can cause lung cancer. And they also can inflame the lungs and cause conditions like lung fibrosis.
Now, let's drill down on the devices themselves. Do the study's findings relate to disposable vapes only, the kind meant to be used once, or also the kind with refillable cartridges?
Our study only looked at the disposables, but we did compare them to the previous generation devices, which are those refillable ones. And in nearly all cases, we found that the disposable devices had higher metal concentrations and sometimes much, much higher than the refillable devices.
We're visiting with Brett Polin, assistant professor in the Department of Environmental Toxicology at the University of California, Davis. Their research shows some e-cigarettes put out higher amounts of toxic metals than older e-cigarettes and traditional cigarettes. The journal ACS Central Science published the study. Doctor, you've said your study highlights what you called the hidden risk of these new and popular e-cigarettes. Exactly what about these devices is new? Does it involve packaging to be more appealing, or are the contents different?
It's both of those. So the packaging is often marketed as flavor-based electronic cigarettes. They're really targeting youth, and the devices that we selected were the most popular with youth in the United States. We used a CDC survey to select the devices. What's also unique, though, is that the design, they're not meant to be altered by the user, so you can't swap out the coil and you can't refill them or change the flavor. But because they're disposable, they're meant to be cheap. They're only $15 or $20 a piece. And that's one of the reasons we speculate that maybe that lots of cheap metals are being used in them is because they're simply designed to be discarded when they're done.
You mentioned before that your results showed that the vaping products you studied emitted increased amounts of chromium, nickel, and antimony as the number of puffs increased. Can you give us a sense of how much more was emitted? Was it, say, twofold or threefold, something like that?
It varied by the device, but we saw the trends across all of the devices. In some cases, it was as much as 500 times or more.
500 times more, just by continuing to puff.
Yeah, and what was effectively happening is the metals are concentrating in the e-liquid as the device is being used, as it's kind of going through the e-liquid, and then at the end of the device, that metal concentrations are highest.
You may have heard that the Food and Drug Administration has now authorized Juul e-cigarettes for the U.S. market. Juul announced that its products helped about 2 million adults quit smoking cigarettes, that is, traditional cigarettes. In your view, can e-cigarettes be a legitimate strategy for people trying to quit traditional cigarettes?
I can't speak to that, but I can say that the devices that have undergone FDA authorization for sale in the U.S. have gone through testing for harmful or potentially harmful substances, and that's the types of metals that we study in my lab. And so for devices that have been approved, they have to actually verify that they're safer than traditional cigarettes. All of the devices that we evaluated are the most popular, but none of them undergone FDA authorization. And several of the companies have been informed that they are not permitted to sell within the United States. But despite that, they're still the most popular used by youth.
Popular and perhaps increasingly attractive. Is there anything about e-cigarettes that tend to make them more addictive than, say, traditional cigarettes?
They've found ways to change the formulation to add more nicotine and still make it palatable. And that's one of the properties of these, is that the nicotine concentrations are very high in these devices. They can be 5% of the total e-liquid, which from my point of view, that's very high. But what they've done is they've learned how to pair it with other chemicals that make it less harsh. And so they can prove addictive in that sense, because if they're targeting youth through the marketing of like these enticing flavors that are more targeted towards youth, and you pair that with high nicotine concentrations, you have a recipe where you can imagine people getting addicted to them as well.
I wonder how many people realize that most disposable e-cigarettes are technically illegal in the United States. But can you characterize how popular are these devices with teens and young adults?
The current estimate is that about 8% of all teens in the U.S. have used one of these types of devices in between 14 and 18 years of age. The ones that we tested, though, of that 8%, the majority of those users are using disposable devices that are actually flavored and not using devices that are FDA authorized.
And from a health and safety perspective, what would you like to see regarding the laws and rules governing e-cigarettes?
One of our big challenges is that the market is evolving faster than scientists and regulators can keep up. And so it really highlights the need for enforcement. You can still go online and often buy these products. In California, there has been a ban on the sale of flavored electronic cigarettes through online commerce. But in other states, you still can readily buy them. And so despite these products being illicit, they're still readily available. So that's one thing I hope comes of our study. The other thing we argue for is that we only evaluated three brands, and there are over 1,000 brands of disposable e-cigarettes. And like I mentioned, they're constantly evolving. Each few months, there's a new product out, and there's very little or no testing done on these. And so information is needed to assess the safety of these devices.
Thanks so much for sharing your information with us. That's Brett Polin, assistant professor at the University of California, Davis. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me on.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.